lingering effects of delirium, payoff of workplace exercise, building an obstetrics triage tool, and we'll talk with a noted pediatrician who talks about nutritional decisions that have to be made by parents when moms return to work. If that's what you're looking for, you found it. It's The Nursing Show. Well, good day and welcome to this week's episode of The Nursing Show, our podcast for nurses by nurses. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, and I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome all of you and thank you for checking out the show this week. We've got a great show coming up for you. In this week's nursing news items, we're going to be looking at a new triage tool for the assessment of the OB patient when she presents to us in any clinical setting. Then in this week's special tip segment interview, I chat with Dr. Meg Meeker, a noted pediatrician, about how nurses can help patients plan for that time when parents return to work and the baby switches from solely breastfeeding to other nutritional options. What are these nutritional options for the baby, and what questions should the mother ask of her workplace when going back to work? We'll have answers to that and more later on in this episode after the news. Before we get to that, though, and the news and everything, I'd like to make sure that you are following up on the information from this and all of our episodes, and you can do that by heading over to nursingshow.com. Check out the links there in the episode show notes right there at the top of the page. There are also other articles and links to other information, and of course our free Nursing Show mobile app, student nurse tips, and a lot of other things. But follow up on what you hear me talk about in the show so you understand how it is applied using your own nursing scope of practice. If you want to get back in touch with me, maybe you have a question, drop me an email. You can send those emails in to me here to nursingshow@gmail.com. It's enjoyable for me to get these emails from you. I love getting them. I respond back to them. So you can send me all kinds of things, links or interview ideas. Whatever the case may be, keep those emails coming. That's it. I'll have some more information and contact info coming up later on in this episode at the end of the show, but let's go ahead and get on into this week's news items, and they are coming right up. Starting up the news for nurses this week on The Nursing Show, let's take a look at a study reported in the November issue of the American Journal of Critical Care. The researchers there looked at the after effects of episodes of delirium on patients who are critically ill. They interviewed patients who had a diagnosed episode of delirium to determine what they remembered of their time with delirium and what lingering effects it had on them. The study and article is called Lived Experience of the Intensive Care Unit for Patients Who Experience Delirium. In critical care units, nurses see patients who develop delirium about 90% of the time. The research shows that there are profound and long-term effects that have to do with emotional and physical well-being. Patients reported four distinct things when questioned about their recollections of episodes of delirium in the ICU. These four things were lack of recall, feelings of disconnection, inability to make sense of their surroundings, and feelings of fear and loss of safety. The patients reported many unusual situations where they experienced hallucinations and felt helpless and weak. Perhaps the worst part was the fear of slipping back into delirium and a return of those symptoms. Because of this fear, the patients would try to keep away from situations that they believed might cause further episodes, and this included planned procedures, even refusing pain medication and sleeping pills. Nurses should be aware of this and use it as an opening to helping patients navigate the aftermath of their delirium episode with their assistance, with counseling, and with education. Next up in the news for nurses, let's take a look at an article I found that looks at the return on investment for businesses that create workplace wellness and exercise plans. Now, this is important for nurses because many nurses work in corporate America and they help their companies manage these types of wellness programs. The article I found over at the Huffington Post site looks at the benefits of these exercise and wellness plans that go beyond the savings and health benefits. There are also tangible benefits in the workplace itself, including things like better productivity, less sick time taken, and more overall job satisfaction, which leads to less turnover and reduced human resources costs. The research is in, and studies suggest that when an employee exercises up to 3 times a week for at least 30 minutes, they have a better job performance. When that exercise is incorporated into their workday, as in exercising during work hours, the chances of increased work performance goes even higher. Now, this is also a mood improvement that goes to employee interaction with others, including other workers and customers. These exercising employees are also more resistant to stress and stress-related illnesses. The top-down approach seems to work the best. This is when the CEO and other top executives make a commitment themselves to exercise. They are seen as engaging in the same programs as the other employees that work for a company, and also have a positive effect on overall morale. The CEO Pledge for Physical Activity is a national campaign that gets executives to recognize the importance of physical activity on all aspects of employee performance and behavior. You might find opportunities for you guys out there in the corporate sector for nurses, so keep your eyes open. And if you're already doing things like this, you can always reach out to me here at The Nursing Show. I'd love to hear from you, and maybe I can share it here with the rest of The Nursing Show audience. So I look forward to hearing from you. Finally, in the news for nurses this week, let's take a look at a new assessment and triage tool for obstetrics patients, OB patients you might encounter. The Association of Women's Health Obstetrics and Neonatal Nurses, or AWON, created a new tool that improves and standardizes triaging pregnant women in urgent and emergency care situations. It's called the Maternal Fetal Triage Index, or the MFTI. In obstetric units, triage, the initial brief nursing assessment of the woman and the fetus, has traditionally been done on a first-come, first-served basis. But one of the problems with this approach is that it does not efficiently identify those women who need urgent or immediate care. The MFTI is a 5-level obstetric acuity tool for nurses to use when they triage a woman presenting for care to a birth unit in order to prioritize the woman's urgency for provider evaluation. It's the first obstetric acuity tool developed by a professional society for use across the United States. AWON is actually seeking nurse champions for a pilot of their program. These nurse champions would implement the MFTI in their facility as part of the electronic health record, and then ensure that participating nurses get the necessary training on the use of the module in triaging patients. Now, I'm going to include a link to the page on the AWON site where you can follow up, and also links to a short video they created that provides and describes the development and implementation process for the triage tool. Check it out in the show notes over at nursingshow.com. Many working parents spend a lot of time preparing for their infant's arrival. Even companies like Netflix are making changes to their parental leave policies for childbirth. But what people don't spend as much time on discussing is the transition back to work for new parents. Joining us today is Dr. Meg Meeker from the Infant Nutrition Council of America. She's here to give nurses some tips to share with parents heading back to work and dealing with some of the nutritional options they're considering for their babies. Here's that interview with Dr. Meg. Dr. Meg, I want to welcome you to The Nursing Show. This is a program for nurses and student nurses, and this is an interesting topic today because I think you probably understand this as a physician as well, but in healthcare careers, we get a lot of questions from people about a variety of healthcare topics, and a lot of our friends and our relatives and yes, our patients as well are asking us questions about how to transition back to work after having a baby, and so it's a great topic. So thanks for coming on the show today.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a topic close to my heart because, of course, I had to do it a number of years ago, too. So I think it's very important.
So we all know the importance of breastfeeding, and it comes really from helping the parents make that informed decision. One of the things that I saw recently was some research on the importance of healthcare professionals really encouraging parents to make good decisions regarding the nutrition of their baby. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, I think that it's important for every mother or father to select a pediatrician whose fundamental outlook on life, beliefs are similar to theirs, and to find a pediatrician that you feel is going to support you in the decisions you make. So I think that's important right from the get-go. But I think that, regarding feeding issues and pediatricians, I think that we need to be there to support parents and help them make really safe choices, because I've been at this for over 30 years, and it's amazing what some people will, well-intentioned, great parents who are working very hard, will try to feed their babies that really aren't the safest thing for them. So that's why I think it's really important for us to teach our patients about healthy nutrition, even, before they go back to work.
Yeah, absolutely. And nutrition starts early, and hopefully helping someone make good nutritional choices as a parent will help that child grow up to have better nutritional choices later in life.
Yes. And it's interesting because we establish eating patterns in our children very early on. And I think that a lot of us are reevaluating eating patterns in newborns and toddlers. I know I am, because you see what happens if they overeat as infants, and infants can overeat. It's one of the most common causes of spitting up, that they can tend to overeat later in life. So it's really important that parents feed their children nutritional things and then also get them on a good feeding regimen.
So as we talk about parents heading back to work after having some time off, and I know there's lots of companies reevaluating the amount of time available for maternity leave for new mothers, but as they transition back, hopefully they've been nursing and breastfeeding during that time frame, but when they go back to work, that opportunity is not always there for them to continue that. So what are some of the recommendations you have for helping parents make an informed decision about transitioning or maintaining breastfeeding or supplementing breastfeeding or transitioning to a different type of food?
Sure. First and foremost, I encourage parents to prepare themselves, which means get as much sleep as you can and get yourself on a sleep schedule if you can, and coerce your baby to get on that sleep schedule too. Mm-hmm. We really need to train babies to get on that sleep schedule. Secondly, and you mentioned that, many moms will be breastfeeding, which is terrific, but every baby who is going to be left by mom, whether she's breastfeeding or not, is going to need to take a bottle. So don't introduce the bottle the day you send your baby off to daycare or you have the daycare provider come in. It's interesting, if you look at studies, 60%, almost 60% of parents choose to do what we call combination feed, and that is they give breast milk and they give formula for this very reason, that mom's not always going to be the one feeding the baby, particularly when she's back at work. So it's important that every parent feel that the way they feed their baby and what they feed their baby is their choice, and they're supported in that choice. So that's very important. But as moms go back to work, it's important, because they're going to be using a bottle, to make sure that those bottles are prepared well. Are they clean? Are they cleaned in between each use? Are they labeled properly? If your baby's in daycare, you don't want your baby getting somebody else's bottle. Make sure you don't microwave the breast milk or the formula that's in the bottle. That's very important, too. And, practical tips on bottle preparation and done in a safe way are very, very important. And, again, we tend not to think about those ahead of time.
You know, it's interesting you talked about bottle feeding and transitioning. I know, as a parent of three children myself, I remember very fondly the times when we were supplementing my wife's nursing with me being able to spend that time with the child and have some time with bottle feeding. So it's really a great way, I think, to have the fathers become involved in the process.
I think it's critical. I really do. I feel that my husband was the exact same way. And incidentally, he's a pediatrician as well. But he felt strongly about wanting to bond with our babies. So we combination fed, because I was stressed and working and I pumped, but he would give formula at home, and that worked very well for us. But he really wanted to bond with our babies, and he loved feeding them and rocking them. And as a working mom, that was very important to me. And I will tell you, he's still very, very close to our kids today, and they're all grown adults now.
Excellent. So what are some of the things that mothers and parents in general going back to work after being home with a child can do to prepare themselves to maybe talk about what their needs are when they go back to the workplace? Are there some things they can talk to their employers about?
Absolutely. You know, in addition to talking to their caregiver about, you know, their feeding schedule and bottle preparation and making sure that your caregiver honors your wishes in how you feed your baby, it's important to go to your employer and say, if mom is breastfeeding, for instance, say, I'm a breastfeeding mother and I'd like to continue breastfeeding. Do you have a quiet, private room where I can pump? And obviously, a good employer should have a place for that. And secondly, does the employer have a freezer where you can put your pump milk? It's important to have it, you know, frozen right away. The other thing that's important to talk to your employer about is, what's our game plan if my child gets sick? How can I continue to work when my child is sick? Can I telecommute? Can I work from home? You know, what can I do to keep my work going in order to, and also take care of my sick baby? And that not only allays your fears as a parent because you prepared for that, but it allays the fears of many employers as well, because they know that you're not just going to bail the first time your baby sneezes.
Yeah, and that's something, again, important question, that second question to ask for the fathers returning to work so that they can share in the care of their children when they're sick.
Yes.
And share in those responsibilities.
Yes, absolutely. And again, I'm all for that. I think that, you know, fathers should be pulled in to the newborn experience. They should be pulled into the first year, second year, third year, all years of life experience. And I think that, you know, sharing responsibility when a child is sick, sharing, you know, daycare issues is very important. So the more involved dads are, the better off for me.
And finally, there's a place where people can find some more information, whether it's our nursing audience or and, you know, our audience of nurses and student nurses, or some parents listening to this episode that would like to follow up and get some more information on good nutrition for their children.
Yeah. The Infant Nutrition Council of America has a wonderful website. It's infantnutrition.org. And I highly recommend parents, students, nurses, doctors go there and read about healthy nutrition for your babies and bottle preparation, all the tips we just talked about today. It's chock full of information, and I really think the key to helping parents be successful and to decrease their anxiety is to arm them with really good, solid, scientific information.
Excellent. Well, Dr. Meg, thanks so much for coming on the show today. I appreciate your time, and you have a great day.
Thank you so much. You as well.
That's going to close out this week's episode of The Nursing Show. I want to thank all of you for checking out the program this week. Make sure you follow up, though, on all of the information you picked up in this episode. Head over to nursingshow.com and check out the episode show notes. There's a link right there at the top of the page. In there are listings for all of the episodes of The Nursing Show. From the most recent one at the top, you can scroll down and go all the way back to the very first episode. But I want you to get the full information there with links to other resources so that you understand how to apply what you hear on the show to your own nursing practice or studies. If you want to get back in touch with me, shoot me an email. You can send that in to nursingshow@gmail.com. I respond back to every email that comes in, and I want to hear from you. So send me your comments, your questions, suggestions, news links. Help support the Nursing Show community with your input. You can also get the Nursing Show email newsletter. There's a link and form right on the right-hand side of the Nursing Show site, so fill out that short form, and we'll send you the links to each episode's show notes directly to your email inbox each week. You can also connect with me on social media sites. I'm available there under the handle PodMedic, so you can find me there under twitter.com/PodMedic and facebook.com/PodMedic, so friend or follow me. You can also become a member of the community over on Facebook by liking the Nursing Show Facebook page at facebook.com/nursingshow. Click the like button there and join the conversation on that page. I post other nursing and healthcare articles and pictures on the Nursing Show site throughout the course of each week and over at the Nursing Show page, so check it all out. That's it for me. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. I'll be back with more episodes here of The Nursing Show. Remember, it comes out every Friday for you, so you can wrap up your nursing week. In the meantime, please remember to stay safe and stay tuned here to The Nursing Show.